Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love. And health.
Lung cancer takes more lives than any other cancer. This year, it will kill an estimated 160,000 plus Americans, more than breast, colon, and prostate cancers combined, so that you would think that while every single corporation wants to have a pink ribbon on their product, like cosmetics, a Barbie doll, snack foods, even a pink fried chicken bucket, there's nobody who's raising their hand for lung cancer. Now, why is that? Well, that's the question that Linda Wenger, Executive Director of the United Against Lung Cancer Research Foundation, keeps asking. Linda, thanks for joining us today on Body Language.
Thank you for having me.
What's the answer to the question, Linda?
Well, I think there's a real stigma in this country about lung cancer. It's a cancer we like to say that nobody wants to talk about. And that was true, I would say, of breast cancer some 20, 30 years ago as well. But and also with AIDS. These were topics that weren't discussed in polite company. But certainly, attitudes can change, and I hope over time attitudes towards lung cancer will change too. The reason why there is a stigma is because of its association with smoking, and that's something that we can talk about. The statistics will show that there's an increase in the number of people who either have quit smoking or never smoked at all who are being diagnosed with lung cancer.
You know, I have read that the stigma of smoking is largely to blame for the underfunding of lung cancer. And frankly, the demonizing of people who have lung cancer, and I guess the anti-tobacco people have in a way been more than successful, leading many to see lung cancer as a self-inflicted disease. Let's talk about that stigma, because I realize it's inhibiting from a fundraising standpoint, and it does get in the way of your efforts, doesn't it, Linda?
Absolutely. It's a huge issue for us. There's a case of a woman I know who has lung cancer who's never smoked in her life. And what she says to people is, I've never smoked, but cigarettes are going to kill me.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. But
no, absolutely.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is my mother, who had emphysema and lung cancer, told everyone that she had breast cancer so she'd get the sympathy vote.
Not unusual. Oh. I hear that story time and again. We are always reading about celebrities who are dying from cancer who we know in the community have died from lung cancer, but the families won't come out and say it. They don't want smoking and lung cancer to be their legacy. Perfect example was Donna Summer's family. Over the summer, she passed away, and it took 3 or 4 days for it to come out that she had died of lung cancer. There is a terrible stigma. Nobody wants to give sympathy to somebody who they think brought it on themselves. My personal feeling is that nobody deserves cancer, that there are all kinds of addictions that people grapple with, and I think we have a lot of sympathy towards people with other addictions. Certainly smoking is not something that's pleasant to be around, and everybody knows it's a dangerous habit. But, you know, people who go into the military, and smoking is very common under those kinds of very stressful conditions.
You know, it's interesting. Lung cancer rates are actually up, especially among never-smoking women.
Yes.
And a startling number of people who develop lung cancer are actually former smokers, people who saw the light, and good for them for not smoking, but they still develop the disease.
Correct.
There are also other causes, such as exposure to radon, asbestos, and other toxins. And 10% of lung cancer deaths are caused by heredity. So to criticize people or judge them for bringing this upon themselves is, it doesn't show a lot of empathy, but it's sadly misguided.
It is. And what I hear time and again from people, especially women never smokers, is the first thing people ask them when they hear they have lung cancer is, did you smoke? But there are so many factors, as you said, and certainly one of them is genetic. And what's happened over the last few years, thanks to scientific research, is we've found a number of mutations that cause lung cancer. Lung cancer isn't one disease,
yes,
it's many diseases. So there are, we've found a couple of 10 that we know certainly are a factor. There may be up to 100 or more. And the good news, and it's a exciting to say there is good news, is that because of research and because we've identified these mutations, we've been able to develop treatments that target those specific mutations.
Our guest is Linda Wenger, Executive Director of the Uniting Against Lung Cancer Research Foundation. Linda, what is your URL so our listeners can get more information?
Oh, thank you. It's www.unitingagainstlungcancer.org.
I have read that federal research spending per cancer death and federal spending in general for lung cancer is significantly lower than for, let's say, prostate or breast cancer, despite the fact that lung cancer takes more lives than all these cancers combined.
Correct. Correct. One of the facts that I can share with you is that the federal government spent over $26,000 per breast cancer death this past year, where it only spent $1,440 per lung cancer death. So there's a huge discrepancy. And add to that the fact that federal spending for research in general is going down, and the pie is just getting smaller, the portion for lung cancer actually is decreasing. It's very upsetting. We want to attract the best and the brightest minds in science to lung cancer research, but if the money's not there, it's not going to happen.
What is your strategy for not only removing the stigma, but perhaps emulating what AIDS activists have done in terms of removing this dark cloud from the disease and changing people's perception?
Well, I think one of the things we've seen with AIDS, with breast cancer, is bringing people together around a disease can raise awareness and change attitudes. We have events all around the country. Our signature event is called Kites for a Cure, and we get people out of all ages and all varieties of health issues. If you're a patient, a survivor, a healthy person, everybody can get out on a beach or a park and fly a kite, and we bring people together to have a positive day around lung cancer. It's something that we think really makes a difference.
The other one interesting issue is that diseases in America frequently have celebrity advocates, which is terrific, for bringing awareness. However, the survival rate for lung cancer is so dismally small that many of your celebrity endorsers are unfortunately no longer with us, such as Dana Reeve, a singer, actress, and non-smoker who was 44 when she died of lung cancer.
Right. Well, there are two issues. One is that the 5-year survival rate for lung cancer is the lowest, or as low as, say, pancreatic cancer.
Well, for example, it's 16% versus breast cancer, which is 89%, and prostate cancer, 99.2%.
Right. And those are great numbers for prostate and breast and other cancers, and that's a wonderful story, mm-hmm. that survival rates are increasing. And I think that's really tied to research and early detection.
Well, one of the problems with lung cancer, as I understand it, is that it is frequently discovered when it becomes symptomatic. For example, my mother's lung cancer was detected when they picked up her emphysema.
Correct.
They did a chest x-ray and said, oh, you have lung cancer too.
Right. Well, think of somebody like a Dana Reeve, a woman who's healthy in her prime, who's never smoked. If she goes to a doctor with breathing problems, they're going to look at asthma, they're going to look at all kinds of things. They're never going to suspect lung cancer. So right off the bat, these people are being misdiagnosed, and the cancer grows to a point where it's no longer operable, and you've got issues. You've got stage 3, stage 4 cancer.
Our guest has been Linda Wenger, Executive Director of the Uniting Against Lung Cancer Research Foundation. Once again, Linda, what is that URL?
www.unitingagainstlungcancer.org.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Christopher Springman. You are listening to Body Language on Radio MD. Thank you so much, Linda. It's been a joy.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this to everyone's attention. We really appreciate it.